Are holding on Lamed Hey Amud Bey's 10 lines from the bottom. Line begins Shemakadrin.
Amud Hey Amud Bey's.
Lamed Hey Amud Bey's 10 lines from the bottom. Line begins Shemakadrin, yeah. Okay, we were discussing like this. In the Mishnah, we had a machloikus, Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. What happens? A person put down their Eruv Tchumen, and now you have a suffix whether that Eruv was still in place or still intact or still able to be eaten. For example, if it was Truma and became Tome, etc. You're not sure whether that happened before. It became Tome or it became lost or rolled out of the way or whatever it is. And you're not sure if it was before Bein HaShemoshes or during it or after it. Now, if it was before Bein HaShemoshes, then it wouldn't be a good Eruv because it has to be in place and it has to be able to be eaten Bein HaShemoshes. If it happened after nightfall, no problem, because once it took effect Bein HaShemoshes, we don't care what happened with it afterwards. What if you have a suffix? So then we said Reb Meir says that you have to, you're chamor gamel, you're stuck in the middle, you may have an Eruv, you may not, and therefore you have to be machmir either way. So you're going to have to, you're only going to be allowed basically in the area between you and your Eruv, or maybe depending how far you put your Eruv from your house, maybe a little bit on one side or another, but you're not going to have a full Tchum Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Yossi had said Suffolk Eruv Kosher. That doesn't matter. You have a suffix whether your Eruv was valid, Bein HaShemoshes. The Eruv is still kosher. You can assume that it was okay. And they have Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yossi brought that Avtumus, in fact, said, in fact, gave Eruvs to that effect. So we're discussing the question, why is Rabbi Meir Machmir in our Mishnah? And we answered because Rabbi Meir holds that Tchumen are Daraisa. So therefore, being Daraisa, so you have to be Machmir on a suffix. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, so now the problem is we brought a Mishnah in Mikvois where it seems the other way around. There a mayor is Mekel and Rabbi Yossi is Machmer. So about Rabbi Yossi, we're going to deal with soon. Why in the case of the Mikveh he's Machmer, but in the case where a person is not sure if he tovled or he's not sure if he tovled in 40 saw, etc. But Rabbi Meir we said is Mekel by Tumas Dirabanan. Rav Meir, we said, is Mekel by Tumas Dirabanan. So what we said is that, okay, so when it comes to Tchumen, he holds Tchumen Adaraisa, so therefore that's different. Okay, the Gemara points out, V'romi Da'araisa Adaraisa L'Rav Meir. On the other hand, then in that case, if you're going to say that Rav Meir is Machmir when it comes to something Da'araisa, then we can find a contradiction where Rav Meir himself says that in a thing Da'araisa we're Mekel. Ditznan, Noga Be'echad Balaila. We learn in a Mishnah that suppose a person touched somebody else in the middle of the night, but any day im chayim mes, when he touched him, he doesn't know whether the other person in the morning is alive or dead. Ulamacha hishkim umotze mes, the next morning he woke up and found the other guy dead. So now, if he was dead when he touched him in the middle of the night, then he's tamei mes. If not, then not. Rav Meir Matahar v'chachamim matamin. Rav Meir says he's tahar. Rav Meir said, now here we're talking about a tumah d'araisa. Yesterday we were talking about, earlier on the Amud, we were talking about where it was a tumah d'rabanan, for example, because he ate tamei food or drank tamei food, drank tamei drinks, etc. Here we're talking about an actual tumah d'araisa, and still Rav Meir says he's tahar. Apparently because it's only a suffix. The Chum say he's Tomei, should call a Tumas Kishas Mitziyasan, because we have a general rule when it comes to Tuma. We always go with Tuma according to how it was when you found it. In this case, you found the person, you woke up in the morning and found the other person dead. Therefore, the Chum are saying that gives us a reason to say that he was already dead at the time that you touched him. Tosfos discusses over here, what about, we learned yesterday about a concept called Chazaka de Meikra, that we see, you say you go according to the original Chazaka, and we know at one point the person was dead. Tosfos discusses over here that actually maybe we would say Kol HaTrumas Kashas Mitziyasan only regarding Truma and Kodshim. Maybe we wouldn't say it as far as other areas of Halacha. Maybe as far as Cholin, for example, we would consider him Tahar. Okay, Tosfos gives a couple of other reasons as well, but anyway, the point is that Rav Meir is Mekel over there, even though we're talking a suffix on a Tumah D'araisa. So what are you telling me, that he's Machmer on things that are Bonin? The answer is Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishnah Seinuk Shahoyala Sheretz Kol Ben Ashmoshes. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, actually, hear what it is. Our Mishnah is talking about where there was a sheretz on the food the entire Ben Ashmoshes. So now, in that case, for sure it became Tomei, because once there's a sheretz on there, it becomes Tomei. It was there the entire Ben Ashmoshes, so therefore it definitely became Tomei. No question about it. Well, then the question is, Yehochi b'holem Rabbi Yossi suffik erev kosher. Then what is Rabbi Yossi saying that it's suffik erev is kosher? Then it's not a suffik erev. Then it's a vaday that it wasn't a good erev, because we're talking about over here the scenario where it was truma and then it became tomei. So if it was truma, so as soon as it becomes tomei, it's also for anybody to eat it. Even a koyan tomei can't eat truma tmeya. So nobody is allowed to eat it. So if there was a sheretz on it, the entire Ben Ashmoshes, then it was Tomei at the beginning of Ben Ashmoshes, which is when the Erev needs to take effect. So how is Rabbi Yossi saying that it's kosher? So the answer is Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Da'amitavayu Hocha B'Shnei B'Shnei Kitei Edim Askinan. What we're talking about over here, they're not disagreeing with Rabbi Yirmiyah's explanation, but they're refining it. We're talking about that there was a sheretz there, but what you have is there are two groups of Edim. One says that it became Tomei while it was still daytime. For example, they're saying that the Sheretz was already dead when Ben Ashmoshes began. The other one says, no, it only died after it became dark. So now you have a special kind of suffix over here that's brought about by having two different sets of Edim. Rabbi Yossi is going to say like this: we have two Edim against two Edim. Therefore, we say, the Truma had its original chazaka of being Tahor. We know at one point that Truma was Tahor. Therefore, we can accept the words of the Edim that say that it only became Tomei Meshecha Shecha. Reb Meir says, once you have one group of Edim that takes away that chazaka, then already you don't have that chazaka anymore when it's something daraisa. On the other hand, then Rashi says, when it comes to the case of the person touches somebody else in the middle of the night, there's no Edim over there. So therefore he has a chazaka. So therefore Reb Meir would say, even though it's something daraisa, he has the chazaka that all night he was alive. Reb Meir is not going to say kol atumas kishas mitziyasan because after all, you could just as well say that he died right now. You don't have any Edim. You don't have any Edim to contradict that. So when you have two Edim, then Reb Meir is going to say, when you have two sets of Edim, then Reb Meir is going to say that the fact is we have a set of Edim that are saying that it was Tomei at the beginning of Ben Ashmoshes, and therefore no good. Okay, Tosfos asks actually that what was the question in the first place? On the other hand, when it comes to the Eruv, on the other hand, we could argue that you have a chazaka against a chazaka. Right now you find that it's Tomei. On the other hand, you have the chazaka that the guy put down an Eruv in the first place. Shouldn't that create a chazaka also, that he has a chazaka of that it was good? Well, not just that it was good then, but in other words, that he created himself a new tchum. So Tosfos mentions over here that first of all, you actually have, there is, when we say, so what it is Tosfos brings from Rashi later on like this: when we say in the case of the mikveh, let's go back to the case of the mikveh a second, where the mayor was machmir, where a mayor was mekel, and says that we can assume that he tovled properly, and Rabbi Yossi was machmir. We said by a tuma d'rabbanon. So you have over there a chazaka l'chumra. Tamid tomei al chaskase is the case where you have, we said, if a person was tomid d'araisa, and then he toveled. So we say we don't accept that he was Tomei unless we know for a fact it was a good mikveh, because he had a chazaka of being Tomei. Against that, you have a chazaka of lakula, that the mikveh was still okay, as we're going to discuss soon. No. The case of the mikveh was you're not sure if the mikveh was 40 saw. You're not sure if it was a kosher or a mikveh or whatever. Anyway, the point is that here you have, on the other hand, yes, you have the chazakah that he put down in Eruv. On the other hand, you have a chazakah opposing it, that a person has a chazakah that he has the tomb of his house. So therefore, the mayor is not going to be so willing to be makel. And then on top of that, we're saying over here that we have the case where there are two different sets of edim. A different point also, you mentioned the fact is that we don't know if it was good at the time. The Rashba says something similar to that, that look, we don't, we have a chazakah that he put down an Eruv, but the fact is we don't know if that Eruv was valid at the time it needs to be valid. So it's a weaker kind of chazakah, right? Okay. Rava. Rava says you don't even need to say that. Even let's say by the case of the person who touched somebody else in the middle of the night, you could even say, let's say there are two sets of Edim. One says that he died earlier in the night, and the other one says that he only died now. But nevertheless, Rav Meir is still going to say that he's tahor because hasam trei chazki lekula. Because over there you have two chazakas lekula to make him tahor. Number one, you have the person who died. He has a chazaka that he was alive up until a certain point. And number two, so he had a chazaka of being alive previously. The other guy also had a chazaka of being tahor. So the two chazakas reinforce each other. So even though we have two edim against two edim, nevertheless, we can still say that it's okay, even though it's a din d'oraisa. So you have two people were lying over there. One of them touched the other one in the middle of the night and then wakes up and discovers the other one is dead. Now you have two sets of Edim. One set of Edim says that this other person died sometime in the middle of the night, which would make the other guy Tomei. And then the other set of Edim says that, yeah. No, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, the Edim, well... So that's the thing. The Edim helped reinforce the Chazakah. Let's say we have Edim. So Rava is saying, in other words, that even in that case. Even then, Rav Meir is going to say he's tahor. Tosfos says that actually Rav Meir doesn't hold of this thing. Rav Meir doesn't say that. Now we have this concept. We say you have two edim against two edim, and we leave the thing on its original chazaka. Tosfos is referring actually to the previous case. When we have two kite edim, one says that the food became tomei mi'oid yom, and the other one m'shecha shecha, Rav Meir, Tosfos says, does not hold of the concept, according to Rabba and Rav Yosef, Rav Meir does not hold of the concept that when we have shnei kite edim, that that's going to allow us to keep things on the original chazakah. The fact is, we have a set of edim that say otherwise, therefore not, whereas Rava disagrees with that. Rava says that even in that case, even when it's two edim against two edim, and you should have reason to say, look, you have a set of two edim that say that it's tomei or that it's also or what have you. Nevertheless, Rav Meir is going to say, since you have two other edim against it, then you're able to say yeah, because you have two chazakas lekula. B'hocha chada chazaka lekula. Whereas when it comes to the food for the eruv, you only have one chazaka lekula because you have the truma had a chazaka being tahor, but on the other hand, as Tosfos said before, we don't say. No, so we don't say that the person, we don't say that we consider that there was a chazakah that the person made an Eruv, because on the other hand, you have the chazakah that a person has the tchum of their house, unless we know that they put down a valid Eruv. So you only have one chazakah lakula, that Rav Meir is not willing to say that we're going to be makel on it. So, Tosfos says, actually, that might be the case, even if Rav Meir holds that tchum and derabbanon. We said yesterday, Rav Meir holds tchum and deraisa, but even if we say tchum and derabbanon, we might still say that as well, that when you only have one chazakah, is not strong enough to. So the question now is, okay, so that takes care of Rav Meir then. So in short, what we're saying is Rav Meir would say, when it's something derabbanan, then fine, we can be makel and say that, for example, in the case of the mikveh, that a person is tahor, so he tovel in a mikveh, we're not sure if he tovel in a mikveh, we're not sure if it was 40 saw, etc., but it was only a tumah derabbanan, we can be makel on him. When it's something d'oraisa, then we have to be machmir. Unless we have so if we say if we say that there were edim involved, if we say that there was a chazaka to the contrary involved, then Rav Meir is not, then Rav Meir is going to allow it only if there were chazakas lakula that reinforce each other, like there would be by the case of the person who touched somebody else in the middle of the night, but not the case of the eruv food where you only have one and you have two sets of edim against each other. Okay. So now we have to deal with Rav Yosi. Kasha did Rav Yosi, I did Rav Yosi. We have a contradiction in Rav Yosi. In the Mishnah, Rav Yosi says that you were makel on Suffolk Eruv, so you're not even sure whether the food was Tahar Bein HaShemashas, and you're still okay. Whereas in the Braisa, or actually the Mishnah that we quoted yesterday, we said that we had a case where a person toveled, where he was Tomei Doraisa, and we're not sure if he toveled properly or not. Rabbi Yossi says he's Tomei. The answer is actually what we said was we had two cases. We had a case where he was Tomei only Drabbanon, and we had a case where he was Tomei Doraisa. And we said that Rabbi Yossi is Machmir in both cases, so even Drabbanon. So why is he Machmir over there and Meikol over here? So the answer is Tumah is different because it has a basis minatora. There is such a thing as tumah minatora. So therefore, the chachamim are going to be machmer even when there was only a tumah derabanan. As opposed to, so the question is, Shabbos nami doraisa. Shabbos itself is doraisa. The answer is okay, but kasav Rabbi Yosi tchumen derabanan. Fine, but Rabbi Yosi holds that tchumen are derabanan. Now, what is that? Now, we did learn before that the Rambam holds that there is a kind of tchum that's daraisa. The Rambam holds that there is a tchum of 12 mil, of 24,000 amas, which is daraisa. So how does that fit over here? So one possibility is that, so one possibility is maybe even if we say that tchum is daraisa, maybe the concept of an eruv tchumen is purely derabanan. Maybe min haTorah there's no such thing as an eruv tchumen. Another possibility that Ravid brings up is the difference is, so therefore, you couldn't put an Erev Tchumen on the 12 mil. The whole concept of an Erev Tchumen is only Dirabanan. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi would say that you're Makel on that, as opposed to when it comes to Tumah, there is a type of Tumah, which is Daraisa. The Ravid understands it a little differently. He says like this, look, the whole reason for the Tumas Dirabanan is because from them you might come to a Tumah Daraisa. You eat Tomei food. We say, why did the Chachamim say that you're Tomei and you have to Tovel before you can eat Tumah? Because you might have a Tomei food in your mouth at the time that you eat Tumah as well. You have some food already that's in your mouth and you put more food in and you're Matamei the Tumah right there on the spot. So you always have these kinds of things there is siyog to make sure that you don't come to do something which is also Daraisa. On the other hand, even if we say that there is such a thing as a Tchum Daraisa of 12 mil, and let's say even there is such a thing as an Eruv for that, but when the Chachamim reduced it to 2,000, it's not really because of a Siog. 2,000 and 2,000 and 24,000 are very far apart. So that's separate matter. The Chachamim made a Tchum. Therefore, we're not saying it's not so closely related to a Din Daraisa that you're going to come to be over on an Isser Daraisa, let alone that you're going to come to be over on any Malacha Daraisa, because a Tchum and Malacha are very far apart. So Rabbi Akiva says we learn from the Orei Miklat a Tchum of 2,000 Amos, and he holds Daraisa. Everybody else holds Dirabanan. You have the Eruv Tchumen we're saying is also Drabbanan, but we're saying like this, even, we're saying that, right, that's the thing, the Rif and the Rambam hold that there is such a thing as a Tchum of 24,000 mil, Daraisa. They would say, Daraisa, you can't walk more than 24,000 mil. They don't address the question explicitly of whether you would be able to put down an Eruv Tchumen for it on a Daraisa level and be able to walk another 12 mil. Then you have the Drabbanan reduced it to 2,000 and said, but you can put down an Eruv Tchumen. So therefore, so we can say that so yes, there is a concept of tchum daraisa, but it's not at all related to the tchum derabanan because they're so far apart that we can't really call it a siyug. And on top of that, we may even say that there's no such thing as an eruv tchumen daraisa, and then even more so, this is completely derabanan. So yesterday's perek echad of Rambam, what does that have to do with that? Oh, okay, fine, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So that's one answer that we can say that Rabbi Yossi would say Tchumina Dirabanan, therefore we Tchumina Dirabanan, therefore he's Meiko on them, as opposed to Tumah, where the specific Tumah we're talking about over here is Dirabanan, but we're saying that it's related to a Tumah Daraisa. Tumah is Tumah, and therefore if he's careless with one, he may end up being careless with another one. The Tchum is very, very different, right? Yeah. Another possibility is Rabbi Yossi himself might hold to be machmir when it comes to a suffix, but his Rebbe holds that you can be mekel. So he's not, in our Mishnah, when he says to be mekel, it's not his own opinion, it's his Rebbe's opinion that he's quoting. In fact, dekanami, in fact, we can see that from the wording of our Mishnah. Dekatoni, Amr Rabbi Yossi, Avtumus, Heid, Mishum, Chamisha, Skenim, Shasafik, Eid of Kosher. Rabbi Yossi says that Avtumus, who was Rabbi Yossi's Rebbe, gave Eidus in front of five skenim, that's Suffolk Eid of Kosher, Shmamina. So that shows that Rabbi Yossi doesn't necessarily agree with that himself. He's quoting what Avtumus said, but not necessarily, he himself may hold that you have to be Machmir in cases of Suffolk, like he did in the case with the Mikveh. Rava Omar, Rava says there's a third explanation. So far we have like this. We have Rav Huna bar Chinina that there's a difference between something where the concept exists daraisa, even if a particular instance of it is Dirabanan. We have there can be Rabbi Yossi versus what his Rebbe holds. Rava says a third reason. Hosam Hainu time with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has a different reason why he's Machmu in the case of the Mikveh. Because Hamid Tomei Achaskase be'emaloi Toval. Because look, I mean, you have previously we knew that he was Tomei, so he has a chazaka of being Tomei. So to take away that chazaka, you need to know for a fact that he Toval. So like this, you don't have that. So the problem with that, as opposed to, in other words, with the case of the Eruv over here, the case of the Eruv, as Rashi says, you have a chazaka l'kula and you have a chazaka l'chumra. Because you have a chazaka on the one hand, the person we know for a fact at one point had the tchum of his house, because after all, a person doesn't put down an Eruv tchum and then his tchum is measured around his house or around his city. On the other hand, you have the truma was known to be tahor when he first took it out there. So therefore, so you have a chazaka against a chazaka, and therefore with something d'rabanan, you can be mekel. Well, if he's standing there with Cheshecha Shecha, you don't need food there anyway. The whole point is that we're talking about usually the typical way would be, I mean, it's true. We're going to have cases later on in the next parak where, for example, a person is on the road and he declares his Makam Shavisa should be in such and such a place. But we're talking about over here an aid of a food. The normal way of doing it is that you're at home, you send a shliach with the food to go out there and then be there, Ben Ashmashas, and make sure that it's there. No, if the shliach, no, shlucha shalom kamoise doesn't apply to that kind of thing. If he puts down the Erev food, fine. But if the shliach himself is standing there, ben hashmoshes, and the shliach means to be kona shvisa over there, then he is. You can't be kona shvisa for somebody else. Not by standing over there, yeah. With the food, yeah. Yeah, so to summarize, well, we're not done yet, but so far, to summarize, what we're saying is Reb Meir is machmir in our Mishnah because he holds tchumen daraisa. On the other hand, So if you put an Eruv and then you have a suffix, then you have a suffix, what happened here? So Reb Meir is going to be Machmir. Reb Meir is going to say, since you don't know what was the status of it, Bein HaShmoshes, you may have an Eruv, you may not. Therefore, you're a Cham or Gamel. Reb Yossi is saying, suffix Eruv Kosher. Now we're asking, why is Reb Yossi saying suffix Eruv Kosher if in a different case involving also Dirabanan, he's Machmir? So far, the other case was... No. That's Tumah Daraisa, and we didn't have an opinion of Rabbi Yossi over there. No, the other case was a person toveled, and we're not sure if his tevila was valid. We're not with a case where we don't know if the mikvah was chaser. We don't know. That was Tumah Dirabanan even right, and still Rabbi Yossi is machmir and says that he's no good. So we had Rav Huna bar Chinina's answer that Tumah, there is a type of Tumah which is Daraisa. Therefore, even by a Tumah Dirabanan, we have to be Machmir because they're very similar and one may lead to the other, etc., etc. Or it's that Rabbi Yossi himself holds to be Machmir, but his Rebbe Avtumus held to be Mekel. And now we have a third answer, which is that it's a matter of Chazaka. In the case of the Eruv, you have two opposing chazakas. You have a chazaka on the one hand that he had the tchum of his house. Against that, you have a chazaka that the truma was tahor. Therefore, we can be mekel because something did rabbanon. But over there, in the case of the mikveh, you have only one chazaka l'chumra. The person was known to be tamei. Fine, it was a tumah d'rabbanan, but he was still known to be tamei. And now we need to know whether he's tahor or not. And we can't do that. So therefore, ve'ema lo tovel. So therefore, you can say maybe he didn't tovel. The problem with that is adrab habin mikvah chaskase ve'ema lo chaser. Okay, but you could say the other way around. In one of the cases we had was where the mikveh, we're not sure if the mikveh was less than 40 saw or not. So what do you mean? The mikveh at one point was 40 saw. It should have a chazaka that it still is 40 saw. Maybe not. So actually, Tosfos says, right, that if we actually measure the mikveh and find that it's less than 40, then yeah, that destroys the chazakah, because then we have reason to say that it may have already been chaser at the time that he toveled. But here we're talking about, let's say we didn't measure it. So now the question is, at the time that he was in it, was it 40 so or not? So why don't we say it had a chazakah that at one time it was 40? The answer is b'mikveh shelo nimdad. We could be talking about a case, the mikveh had never been measured. Now, for the first time afterwards, after this guy tovels, we're wondering, was it actually 40 so at the time? So, it wasn't measured for a long time, let's say, yeah. Okay. Right, so that would be the case. So therefore, so it doesn't have, so again, we would say, we do hold of the concept of chazakah d'mikveh, Ikra, that a person has, that the person or the mikveh has its original chazaka, but over here, the person's chazaka to me ikra would tell us to be machmir, because he was tamei. The mikveh's chazaka to me ikra, the mikveh doesn't have a chazaka to me ikra, because we didn't measure it recently. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Yossi would be machmir. As opposed to in our Mishnah, with the case of the Safek Eruv, you have two chazakas to me ikra that contradict each other, that go in opposite directions. The chazaka to me ikra of his house, of his tchum of his house would tell us that he doesn't have an Erev Tchumen. The chazaka de me'ikra of the truma would say it was tahor and therefore it was valid, bein hashmashes. So therefore, those cancel each other out. That he was at home and that his tchum is based on his house rather than his Erev. Because again, since it's only dirabbanan, then Rabbi Yossi can say that it's fine. But as opposed to in the case of the Tomei person, it's not, if it was two chazakas contradicting each other, fine. Also, Rabbi Yossi would be mekel, says Rava. But here, when you have one, here we have both chazakas are lahachmir. You only have one chazaka that he was Tomei. And the mikveh itself has no countervailing chazaka because we didn't measure it. Then therefore, we have to be machmir. No. Tomei from eating Tomei food or drinking Tomei drinks or whatever. Yeah, it's a tumah d'rabbanan. No. Leave aside the case where the person touched somebody else. That was a tumah d'oraisa. We brought that in because of Reb Meir. We were asking, why is Reb Meir mekel in that case and machmir in the other case? So that's to be said. We said that either because our Mishnah is because our Mishnah is talking about where there were edim that contradict each other, whereas over there there are no edim, or again because you have two chazakas versus one chazaka. Because you have over there, you have chazaka that the guy was originally alive, and chazaka that the guy who touched him was tahor. Whereas over here, you have a chazaka that he was at home, and that's yeah. Okay. Fine. Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Kate said, Amar Rabbi Yossi, suffic Erev kosher. What does Rabbi Yossi mean? What kind of suffic is he saying that the Erev would still be kosher? It means Erev betruma. So suppose he made an Erev with truma. Suffic mibon yoim nitmes. Suffic mishach hashecha nitmes. So it's a suffic whether it became tamei while it was still daytime or after it became dark. V'chein mepeiros. Or similarly, he made an Erev with fruit. Suffic yom nitaknu, suffik mishach hashecha nitaknu, and we're not sure whether, so the fruit was tevel you can't eat, it's a suffik whether truma and meiser was taken on behalf of them before Shabbos began or after Shabbos began, which in that case, so now midrabanon, you're not allowed to take truma and meiser on Shabbos, but let's say he did, it wouldn't help for this eruv, because again, bein hashmashes, it has to be edible, and right now it's not. Bein hashmashes, it was still tevel. So if we know that truma was only taken on behalf of it on Shabbos, then it's no good. But the question is, was it done before Shabbos or not? So those kinds of cases, because tevel you can't eat, right? So there, right, so, No, well, that's the thing. Zehu Suffolk Eid of Kosher. This is an example. These are examples of Suffolk Eid of Kosher. Now, the Gemara is going to ask soon that the Gemara is going to ask soon. With Truma, we can understand it was Tahor. Now we don't know whether when it became Tomei. So fine, it had a Cheskas Kashrus. But the Tevel never had a Cheskas Kashrus because it's also to eat until it's also to eat until you take Truma and Maaser from it. So what do you mean? So what kind of chazaka do you have? We just said that it only works on the basis of chazaka, but the tevel doesn't have a chazaka because when you put it down, it was still tevel. The only question is, did at some point before Shabbos, was truma and ma'aser taken on behalf of it? How is it that have a chazaka? So we'll see. We'll deal with that soon. It's not demai. No, it's not demai. It's tevel. It's definitely right. Demai, we said you could make. Demai, we said in the first perek of our, in the first mishnah of our perek, you said you could make an eruv with demai because you could be mafkur or you could be mafkur all your possessions and then you're poor and then you're allowed to eat demai. Yeah. Okay. So these kinds of cases are suffolk eruv, which is kosher. Aval eruv v'truma suffolk tohra suffolk tmeya, but continues the brisa, if he made an eruv with food with truma that to begin with was suffolk tomei suffolk tahor. So in other words, it wasn't the like this in the first cases. You put down something which was known to be good, and the suffolk developed afterwards. Here, yet we'll see soon how tevel is known to be good, but we'll get to that. But in the second case, we're saying before you ever put it down, there was already a suffolk on it, so you never had a cheskas kashrus on it. Similarly with food, you don't know whether truma was taken from it before you ever put it down. So therefore, well, in other words, exactly that. You have tevel. You don't know. You know that it was tevel. It wasn't that you bought it from an amoritz. You know that at one point it was tevel. You don't know if truma and maaser was ever taken from it or not. Now you put it down for an eruv. That's not the kind of suffolk that Rabbi Yossi is talking about. That would be fine. That would be ein zeh suffolk eruv kosher. That's not the kind of suffolk eruv which is kosher. That kind we would say is no good. Okay. The question is maishna truma. Maishna truma. So why is it different with truma? By the way, so what's the case of Suffolk Tmeya, Suffolk Torah? So Rashi explains exactly that. In other words, hello, you have Truma, which you're not sure if it became Tomei or not. Tosfos says that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that the Truma itself is Suffolk, whether it became Tomei or not. We're talking about, let's say you had two chalos, or two piles of food or whatever. One was Truma Tmeya, one was Truma Torah. You made an Eruv with one of them and you're not sure which one it was. In other words, because apparently Tosfos is saying, if it was the case where it was Truma and a Suffolk developed, whether it was Tomei or not, then you would still say that it had a Chazaka that originally it was Truma Tahora. But in this case over here, where to begin with, you don't know whether you use the Truma Tomei or the Truma Tahora, then there's no Chazaka at all. You never had Chazaka, right? Okay, so the question is, Maishna Truma Damrin and Hamid, about the middle of the Amud, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Maishna Truma Damrin and Hamid Truma Al Chaskasa, the Ema Tahurahi. So why is it when it comes to Truma, we're saying you're not sure whether it became Tomei before Shabbos began or after Shabbos began, and we're saying therefore Rabbi Yossi considers that Suffolk Eruv, you would say Hamad Truma Al Chaskasa, you give the Truma its original Chazaka, the Ema Tahorahi, and therefore you say it was probably Tahor at Bein HaShemashes. In that case, Peres Nami, so in the case of fruit which was Tevel, shouldn't you say the other way around, Hamad Tevel Al Chaskasa, it was known to be Tevel at one point before you put it down, it should still have its original Chazaka, the Ema Lo Nitaknu, so therefore Chazaka would tell us that it was never that truma was never taken from it yet. So therefore, that truma was only taken after Shabbos began, and that's too late because the eruv only takes effect bein hashmashes. So why are we saying, and why are we calling that suffolk eruv kosher? The whole point is, we said Rabbi Yossi is basing himself on the concept of chazaka. The answer is lo tema suffolk mebo'od yom nitaknu ela ema suffolk mebo'od yom nidamu suffolk meshechashecha nidamu. You're right. You have to correct the brisa and say that it doesn't mean that it was known to be tevel before Shabbos. What it is you have a suffolk whether there was something mixed in before Shabbos. Namely, now usually nidamu mean usually the word dimua in Shas usually means that truma was mixed in with the cholin. And if you don't have 100 times as much truma, as we don't have 100 times as much cholin as truma, then the whole thing can only be eaten by koyanim. So Rashi says two explanations over here. One is that Nidamu has its usual meaning, that it does in Shas, meaning that Truma got mixed in which case, so we have the problem, non-Koyanim can't eat it. So now we had at the beginning of the Perek, we had Sumchus's opinion that you can make an Eruv only with food that you yourself can eat. For example, he said if Yisrael can't make an Eruv with Truma. So therefore, in this case, the Yisrael, so now at this point, it's Meduma, it's mixed in, Truma and Cholin. The Yisrael can't eat it. The only question then becomes, the only question is, was it before or after? It had a chazaka at one point that it was Cholin. Now we don't know whether Truma got mixed into it before Ben Hashemasha, so during it or after it. So then we're going to say Suffolk Eruv Kosher. Right, that's right. He put it down and then there became the suffix. Yeah. The other possibility, Rashi says, is Nidamu over here has a different meaning than usual. Nidamu over here can mean that Tevel got mixed into it. But we don't know when it happened. Now with Tevel, you have in order to so once Tevel is mixed in, nobody can eat it. Even a Kohen can't eat Tevel, even though Tevel is also only because of the Truma and Maisa that has yet to be taken out of it. We still don't say a Kohen is allowed to eat it. So therefore No, Medaraisa. Medaraisa. Yeah. So now nobody would say that it's good. But because it was a suffix, because it had a chazaka to begin with of being good, and then they developed the suffix, then therefore we're allowed to, therefore it's a, we're able to consider it a valid eruv. But in other words, you're right. If it was a case where it was real tevel and you put it down, and now you're just not sure when truma and maisa was taken, we wouldn't call that suffix eruv kosher. And it all got mixed in, and it's not so far-fetched. You have a case, you put down your Eruv food in a certain place, afterwards you come, let's say you come later on Shabbos, and you discover there's a lot more food over there, and you start asking around, and you find out, somebody says, oh, I had some Tevel over here, or I had some Truma over here, and I dropped some of it, and some of it got mixed in with your food over here. And the question is, was it before Shabbos began, or was it after Shabbos? We said it has to be on a makom choshuv. The floor itself is a makom choshuv. It's more than 4x4. Even Rabbi Yehuda was only talking about a case where you have it on a pole, let's say. You have it on a pole or you have it on a tree or something, then it has to be a place dalad al dalad. But if you have it on the ground, then you could have it on. And if you put it in a chesed abim, it doesn't belong to everybody. You put it in a chesed abim, that is your makom shvista. You're not going to be able to. You're going to have to stand within 4 amos of there on Shabbos in order to eat it. But you could do that. You're allowed to carry something less than 4 amos one time in Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. As long as it was good Beinash Moshes. So that's the thing. The typical scenario is you send your food with a Shliach, he puts it down over there, he waits until Ben HaShemoshes, and then, but let's say he didn't wait till Ben HaShemoshes, let's say he put it down and then he left, and now you come back on Shabbos and you find that they're there, yeah. Okay. Fine. Barab Shmuel by Yitzchok min Avhona. Hoyu lefon of shtei kikris. What if a person has in front of him 2 loaves of bread? Achas tmeya v'achas tahora. One of them was tamei, they're both truma. One of them was tamei, one of them was tahor. V'ama iruli b'tahora b'chol makom shehi. He says to his shliach, take these 2 loaves. One of them we know is tahor. We just don't know which one is which. Take both of them and make me an eruv and have in mind whichever one is the truma tahora will be the valid eruv. So Mahu, what would be the din? Ti boil it up mayor, ti boil it up yasi. The question can be asked according to the mayor, it can also be asked according to the yasi. Ti boil it up mayor. Ad kan like a mayor hossam to like a tahora. In our mission, a mayor is machmir because you don't have any truma tahora. At the end, you find the truma is tame. It's just a suffix whether it happened before or after Shkia. But you know for a fact at this point, eventually you come and find that the truma is tame. But over here, ha ha ha, ikka tahora. Over here, the fact is you have food which is tahor, you just don't know which one it is. So maybe the mayor would say, the fact is you have food over here that's good, therefore it should be good. Oi Dilma Afilu Rabbi Yossi, or maybe the other way around, even Rabbi Yossi would be Mekel, Loi Ka'ama Ela Hossam. You know why he's saying in our Mishnah that you can be Mekel, the Im Isadi Tahora Yodala. The fact is, if it's Tahor, you know, the only suffix is you don't know when it became Tahor, because it has a Chazakah. But fine, if we don't know when it became Tameh, rather, but it we know at the beginning that it was Tahor. It was a Suda Haruya. We only now have a suffix when it became Tameh. Fine, we would say it has a Chazakah of being Tahor. Aval Hocha, Hola Yadala, but over here he doesn't know which one is which. So to begin with, so then maybe therefore even Rabbi Yossi would say that it's no good. But it's not, but that's the question. Is it Roy T? We don't know which one is which. We know one of them is Tomei, one of them is Tahar, but we don't know which one is which. So practically speaking, you can't eat either of them. So that's the question. So Rav Huna answers, Amalei, Bein l'Rabbi Yossi, Bein l'Rabbi Meir, but in Suda, Ru'uyim, Ba'odiyam Baleka. The answer is that both of them would say you need the Suda, needs to be edible, Mib'odiyam, before Shabbos begins, and it's not because in this case you have a suffix to begin with, which one is the Torah one, therefore that wouldn't be good even according to Rabbi Yossi. No, because nobody would be able to eat it because you don't know which one is the Torah one, yeah. Okay. Bamine Rava Mirab Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman, what about another case like this? What if a person says on a certain loaf of bread, Kikurzu Hayom Choyl Lamacha Kodesh? This loaf of bread, today it's still Choyl. I'm making a Tanai that tomorrow, meaning on Shabbos, it should become a Hektish. And we learned the other day, you can't make an Erev with Hektish because once it's made Hektish, it's also Bana. So you're saying that it should become Hektish as of Shabbos. Now he says, make an eruv for me with this loaf of bread. Mahu, what would be the din? Is it good or not? So Rav Nachman tells him it is a valid eruv. What about the other way around? Hayom kodesh l'macha chol. What if he says the other way around? I want that today it should be hektish and tomorrow it should be chol. Now, how do you have that? How do you have today it's hektish and tomorrow it's chol? Rashi explains that he has money at home which he can be mechalal that hektish on. So he has in mind that on Shabbos that chilul should take effect and it should become cholin again. The Rashi gives a different explanation. Let's say to begin with he made a tanai that it's only going to be hektish for the one day. You can do that. The Mishnayos in the Dorim that talk about such concepts. We're able to make something hektish only for a period of time. Anyway, whatever it is, what would be the din then? So then Rav Nachman tells him in that case it will not be a valid eruv. So the question is, Maishna, what's the difference in these two? In both cases, you have the question on the face of it. The question is that in both cases, it's Bein HaShmoshes, you're not sure what the status of it is. So if you're going to say in one case, because in both cases, you have today it's one status, tomorrow it's another, meaning Bein HaShmoshes, the status, meaning at some point when Shabbos begins, the status changes, and you don't know when that is during Bein HaShmoshes. So what's the difference? What do you mean? In both cases, you don't know. But when it comes, No. Tomorrow doesn't mean sometime in the middle of the day. Tomorrow means when Shabbos begins. I want that as soon as Shabbos begins, this bread should be considered kodesh, or this bread should be considered chol. So, Benashmoshes is a suffix. That's the whole point. So the question is, why is it in one case are we saying it's fine, and the other case we're saying that it's not? That in the other case we're saying that it's not fine. Actually, well, so. That, well, so one second. Amalei, so Rav Nachman answers him, L'chi techol ala kura de milcha. When you measure out a kura of salt about this and give it to me, then I'll tell you the reason. That's an exaggeration. We had an expression in Shabbos as well. Meaning, in other words, if you think into it, you'll figure out the reason. Rashi in Shabbos mentions another explanation of it. He's saying if you eat a kura of salt, you're not going to be able to figure out the answer unless you think into it. The answer is Hayom Chol L'Macha Kodesh Misfeka L'Nachs L'Kedusha. The answer is if you say that it becomes Kodesh only when Shabbos began, so then because you have a suffix when Shabbos begins during Bein HaShmoshes, we can say that it doesn't become Kodesh because of the suffix. We can say that at Bein HaShmoshes it still had basically yeah we still sort of go according to its original Chazaka. It's not strong enough because of only a suffix to say that it should be Kodesh and therefore should be off limits. Hayom Kodesh L'Macha chol. But if it's the other way around, if first it's going to be kodesh and then comes Shabbos, it's going to be chol. Misfeka like poka like kedusha kedusha seminei. Then the kedusha doesn't go away just because of the suffix. There you have it. It's the other way around. The suffix is not strong enough to take away the kedusha, and therefore you have ben hashemoshes. You still have a chumra. You still have you still have reason to say that it was no good, and therefore that's not a validator. Once it's hektish, it's not yours, but that's the point. In other words, once you say it's choil, in the second case, once you say it's choil, once it's choil, it becomes yours again. But no, not next year. Forget about next year. No, not tomorrow. Again, Bein HaShemoshes. He's saying as soon as Shabbos begins, this should become choil. Not in the next day, sometime 12 o'clock in the afternoon. We mean the next day, we mean as soon as the next day begins. But nevertheless, you still have a suffix. You still have that going in. It was Kodesh, and therefore the suffix of when Bein HaShemoshes is Chal, when Shabbos actually begins, is not strong enough to take away that Kedusha and make it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Tnan Hossam. So now in this connection, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Tvoyoim, Login Tvoyoim Shemilohom in a Chavas Shemaiser Tevel. Suppose a person has a bottle, a wooden bottle, which was Tvoyoim, so he had toveled it in a mikveh, and now he's waiting for Head of Shemesh. He filled it up he filled it up from Meiser Rishon, which was still Tevel, meaning that Trumas Meiser had not been taken out of it, which is still also to eat. A bottle, a jug, whatever, yeah. That it was Tomei, he toveled it. It didn't yet have Head of Shemesh. Now he takes and fills up from it a bottle full of Meiser Rishon, Shaloi Nithla Trumasai. Meiser Sheni, where the Trumas Meiser had not been taken out, and therefore is still Tevel, and the Levi is not allowed to eat it yet. He says, I want that when Shabbos begins, that this should be that the contents of this bottle should be Trumas Meiser, Dvarav Kayam. And then what he said is valid because, and the Truma is still Tahar, because the moment when the Truma takes effect is also going to be the moment when the bottle becomes Tahar, and therefore there's no problem. But the Mishnah says, if in the same scenario he were to say, make me an Eruv with it, then it's no good because Bein HaShemoshes is still Tevel. So Omar Rabba, Zois Emeres, Soif HaYoim Koine Eruv. So Rabba says, you see from this that only at the end of the day does the Eruv take effect. At the end of the day on Friday, it's still Tevel because it only becomes Trumas Meiser when Shabbos begins based on it tonight. If you were going to say that the Eruv only takes effect at the beginning of Shabbos, then why wouldn't it work? You have the same thing, the same way as we said that the Trumas Meiser does not become Tomei from the bottle, because the moment when it becomes Trumas Meiser is also the moment when the bottle becomes completely Tahor. Well, by the same logic, that would also be the moment when the Eruv takes effect. So it must be that the Eruv takes effect the last moment of Friday rather than the first moment of Shabbos. So therefore it would be no good because you made an Eruv with Tevel. It was Tevel at the time. Because it only takes effect at the first moment of Shabbos. Omer a papa. A papa says not necessarily. Afilu teima tchilas ayim koina eruv. Not necessarily. You could even say that the beginning of Shabbos, the first moment of Shabbos, is when the eruv takes effect. Nevertheless, but in suda ruoyim mibodiyim veleka. You have to have the suda has to be edible mibodiyim before Shabbos begins, and it's not, because in this case it only becomes edible at the moment Shabbos begins, because up until that point it's tevel, and therefore that wouldn't be good. Okay. Yeah. So now this next Mishnah is going to talk about a Tanai with an Eruv, and that's going to get us into a whole discussion about Breira, the famous question of Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. Breira is if you have something where you don't decide at the time, but you want to decide afterwards what the din should be of something, do we say that it takes effect retroactively? Do we say that what you chose afterwards turns out that that was what you had in mind all this time? For example, we're going to mention it in our Mishnah in connection with an Eruv. We're also going to mention in the Gemara, which we'll learn tomorrow, about Hashem in connection with Truma and Meiser, for example. Can you do that? Can you take it afterwards and have in mind retroactively that it should work from beforehand, that now you should be able to eat? Yeah. So we'll see the case tomorrow, but yeah. Yeah. The Mishnah says, Masna Adam Ale Ruvai, a person is allowed to make a Tanai about his Eruv. So in other words, he puts an Eruv Tchumen in each direction, in each of two directions, and he makes a Tanai which one should be valid. V'oimer, now you can't have two Eruv Tchumens in effect at the same time, because you only have one Makam Shvisa. Right. So you can't have two Makomas Shvisa, but you can have a Tanai where afterwards it'll be determined which one was the valid one. No. That's the thing. When you put down an Erev Tchumen, your Makom Shvisa for Shabbos becomes that place, not your house. The only reason that's why you have to put it within the Tchum Shabbos of your house. If you put it beyond the Tchum Shabbos, you have no way of getting there by Banish Moshes. You have a chazaka, all very nice, but that's what we meant. In other words, you have a chazaka that without an Erev Tchumen, your home base is your house. You want to take away that chazaka and replace it with another chazaka that you have an Erev, then you need to know that the Erev was good. Yeah. Okay. So Masna Adam Al Eruv Oimer, Imbo Nochrim Min Mizrach, if Goyim are coming to the city from the east side and I have to run away, Eruv Lamayruv, then I want that at that point it should have that the Eruv that I put down on the west should retroactively take effect. It should be considered that as of the beginning of Shabbos, that was my Mokam Shvisa, and therefore I'm allowed to run 4,000 Amos in that direction. Min Amayruv Eruv Lamizrach, the other way around, if the Goyim come from the west, I want my Eruv to be the valid one on the east. If Goyim are coming in both directions, then I can go whichever direction I want, whichever group I figure is less dangerous or whatever. And if they don't come from either direction, then the person can make a Tanai. I don't want either of my Eruvim to take effect. I want to be like everybody else in the city and just have a Tchum Shabbos around the city. So such a thing is valid. He can make such a Tanai and it works. Retroactively, we say, as of Bein HaShemashes, which is when the Eruv takes effect, we say that then this Eruv was valid. Similarly, he can say, he can say a similar Tanai. He knows that a Chacham is going to be coming near town. I want to go learn Torah from him. So I don't know right now which direction he's coming. Tomorrow I'm going to hear from people who made Erev Tchumens or whatever, that they're going to come and tell me which side he's on. So therefore, so I want to make that if he comes from the east, I want to make that retroactively my Erev will have been the valid one that I made on the east side. If there are Chachamim coming from both directions, I want to be able to pick which one I want to go to. Loy lekan v'loy lekan are in the community. And if the chacham doesn't end up showing up, then I want to just be like the people of my city. So all of that is valid. You're able to make such a tnaim. Right. Rabbi Yehuda oimim hoya echad man rabbi hoylech etz a rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda says that if one of those two tamar chachamim is your rebbe, then you then the one that you made in the direction your rebbe is coming one is the valid one. We assume, in other words, even though he says that there's a chacham coming from both sides and I want to have my pick, Rabbi Yehuda says that if one of them is his rebbe, we know that that must be the one that he had in mind that he's going to go to. So he just didn't know which side that rebbe is going to come from. But once he finds out that his rebbe is on one particular side, then he has to go to that one. Well, obviously, right. In the Nochrim case, right. If it was Pekuach Nefesh, there's nothing to talk about, right. Right. We're talking about, let's say we're talking about tax collectors. But Rabbi Yehuda says, if both of them are his rebbe's l'makom shiyutz yelech, then he can go whichever one he wants to. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. When Rabbi Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael, he taught a version of the Mishnah that was the other way around. Where he said, if the Goyim are coming from the Mizrach, I want my Eruv to be from the Mizrach. I want to be able to go in that direction. And if they come from the Ma'ariv, I want to be able to go to Ma'ariv. And the other way around, that he continued, that if the Chacham comes to the Mizrach, I want to be able to go to the Ma'ariv and vice versa. So what's going on over here? Kasha Nochrim Anochrim, Kasha Chacham Achacham. So you have a contradiction. Why in the Mishnah we're saying he'd want to run away from the Goyim? In Rabbi Yitzchak's version of the Mishnah, he's saying that he wants to go towards them. And with the Chacham the other way around, what's going on? The answer is Nochrim on Nochrim like Kasha. When it comes to the two Goyim, there's no Kasha. Hava par ha-gavna. Our Mishnah, the version that we have of our Mishnah, is where there are tax collectors coming. He wants to run away from them. Hava more de Masa. On the other hand, Rabbi Yitzchak's version is talking about, for example, when the mayor is coming to town. The, the, the nobleman, the poritz or whatever, who owns the town. So he wants to go talk to him. He wants to go talk to him. I mean, he wants to go and convince him to convince him to go easy on him, or to complain about something that's going on in town or whatever. Oh, he wants to give him honor as another answer as well. And yeah, there is in fact an answer that more masa means over here like a king, where therefore you want to go out to honor him like you're supposed to. Chacham achacham like kasha. The two cases of the chacham is also not a kasha. Haba moisif pirki, haba mikri shma. One is talking about, we're talking about, you have a tamar chacham who gives droshes. Pirki means droshes, where a person wants to go and hear it. The other one is a melamed who teaches children shma and how to daven. So in other words, Rashi says that Rabbi Yitzchok's case is talking about, you have in one direction there's coming the Talmid Chacham is going to give a drasha, in the other direction was coming a Malamed. So therefore, you don't want to go towards the Malamed, you want to go towards the Talmid Chacham to hear the drasha. So you're saying, if the Chacham, meaning the Malamed, comes from the east, then I don't want to go in that direction, I want to go in the west to the other Talmid Chacham who's giving a drasha. And the Aruch gives a different answer, gives a different explanation on it. The teacher we're talking about over here, he's coming to demand his payment. So therefore, so you don't want to have to deal with it. You don't want to have to deal with him on Shabbos. So therefore, yeah. So therefore, you'd rather stay and you'd rather go in the other direction. Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out about that. I mean, look, I mean, you know, you're not going to have, the guy can't demand his money on Shabbos. So he says, okay, but still, you're going to have to be machnes orachim, and you may not have enough food, etc. So therefore, you'd rather stay out of it. Okay. We'll do one more line. Rabbi Yehuda had said that if one of these chachamim is his rebbe, then he has to go in that direction. The chachamim obviously disagree. So why? Because the chachamim say sometimes a person would prefer to hear his chaver rather than his rebbe. Meaning, in other words, because on the one hand, you have Rabbeinu Yohanesson on the Rif points out, you have an advantage when you're going to hear your chaver, because then you feel more free to ask questions and whatever, as opposed to with your Rebbe. On the other hand, with your Rebbe, you know that what you're going to hear from him is the proper halacha. What you hear from your chaver may or may not be. So therefore, so the Chachamim are saying, you have your choice. Sometimes you may prefer one than the other. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you're always going to prefer your Rebbe because he's going to tell you what's definitely correct, Alpi Torah. Okay. That's what we're going to see in the Gemara about that. We're going to talk tomorrow about an opinion that disagrees with our Mishnah. Yeah. Good luck, everyone.